Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. It's Mia here. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. So I'm really excited about our guest today. Her name is Rebecca Egbert, and she is the CEO of this amazing company called The Mother Love. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that in a sec. But she is a midwife, and she practiced for 9 years and is just such a champion for moms and women's health. And she's just this amazing beacon of light and is really looking after, you know, all moms' best interests just in an amazing, very natural way. And I met Rebecca because she was actually the midwife for one of my best friends. And she introduced us. She tried to introduce us for a long time. And then I think we finally listened and connected because we both launched a Kickstarter at the same time. And I call Rebecca the midwife of my Kickstarter because she was just the most supportive person. And I literally don't think I could have gotten through the 30 days without her. And she created, via her Kickstarter, this amazing product, which is called the Mother's Little Helper. And it's these cards. And I'm a really tough critic because I love some good design and typography. And these are just the most beautiful, informative, the best color ever cards you've ever seen. So we will share those in the link. But she's just done this amazing job. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me. It's fun to think. Nice introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very generous of you, by the way. So, and I'll correct you. It's called Little Mother's Helper.
Oh,
so yeah, that's
what
okay.
I think you said, I always say it wrong. Mother's,
well, everyone knows it's the Rolling Stones song. So we off the Rolling Stones song and said Little Mother's Helper, which has been tricky in itself as we've faced the last 6 months. So anyways.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So Little Mother's Helper. I'm sitting here, like literally I have the box in my hand and I'm reading it wrong.
It's okay. It's dyslexia. It's morning time.
Exactly. And I just want to warn everybody that I'm coming off this cough, which is so silly, but here I am. So if I cough, I apologize in advance. Maybe we'll edit it out. So let's dive in a little bit. I would love to go. So these cards are just amazing. And of course, you know, I just love them as design, and I'm a little bit out of that new mom phase because my baby's yes. now 7. Mm-hmm. But, oh my God, I so wish I had these because all the thoughts on them are just these ideas that, I don't know, when you're a mom, I feel like there's this sense that you have so much support around you, and it's a time where you definitely always find new friends with babies, and, you know, some of us have family around who are helping. And sometimes our husbands can be more attentive or not. But but I just feel like it's this time where we have this sense of community, yet we feel so alone. Mm-hmm. And we don't always understand. And I think a lot of the alone part is because all these like funky things are happening to us that no one tells us about.
Yeah.
And you don't understand, you know, that this is all normal and part of what happens. And so sometimes we don't always share those things out loud. And every single one of these cards sort of deals with those things. So I love it.
The secret truths to motherhood is sort of what it should be called, you know. But it's been interesting to receive so much feedback. You're right, since we were like lining up during our Kickstarter campaigns. And so it's been such a wild ride since that. But that is one thing I've really heard the most is where were these when I had a kid, especially for those of you that are older mothers is what I always say. Yeah. And, you know, and I definitely have had some really interesting kickback, like, you know, and we talked about this a little bit prior to recording, which is like, oh, how can you be so empathetic or like, you're not a mom. Like, why do you know this information? I'm like, well, answer to that is, you know, when you deliver and work with thousands of women, you hear the same stories over and over and over again, and it gives you room to really listen if you're a good listener.
Yeah, and, well, I'm sure you become like the shrink. I mean, you're the person, you're the safe person for people to tell
everything.
All this stuff to.
I'm like, everything. The only card I didn't put in the deck was the one that moms, you know, like I get at events or just the phone calls or the texts. And it's like, you know, when a mom's sort of like around that 5 month postpartum period where you're really out in no woman's land because you don't, the pediatrician you see once in a while, you're no longer with your OB or your midwife. And they're like, why do I hate my husband today? You know, yeah. Or do I hate my partner today? What is it? You know, yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't put that one in yet.
Exactly.
Addition to, but, you know, that question. And so that's, but there is the card in there that says, you know, I think it's like the, one of the pro tips and it says, three months of sleep or something at the end. I don't know. Maybe you can pull it out while you're sitting there.
Yeah, but
And on the backside of it, it was just a tip from a friend who said to her that was like, you know, an older kind of, you know, this woman, the mom was probably in her late 20s and the woman telling her was probably in her mid 40s to early 50s and was sort of like an auntie and just said, hey, you know, until everybody in the family gets 3 months of sleep, including the baby, don't consider divorce.
Yeah, I'm seeing the quote right now. Someone told me while I was still pregnant that I shouldn't consider divorce until the whole family had been sleeping through the night for 3 solid months, which is so true.
Right. I mean, so because our emotions get the best of us, I think, in that first year postpartum.
And so. I always call it, like looking back, I definitely call it survival mode. And I remember quite definitively when I was able to slip out of survival mode and into, you know, what I call, you know, the thrive time.
Yay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like,
yeah. So I randomly just pulled some cards just to see. Yep. And of course I pulled body ones before we did it. And so I love the idea that, so the first one I pulled was getting your body back.
Yep.
And it says that a common question that you get is when you can start to run or work out. Mm-hmm. And that's because, you know, people really, like, it's just that thing. Like, you know, you've had this baby, you're sleep deprived, your body does not come right back no matter, well, I guess some people's do, but most people's don't.
Yeah, most people's don't.
And it's like that one part that you could probably control. Mm-hmm. But I love all the insights on this card because you're really challenging people to realize that it's going to take time and that there might be a slightly new normal. And I think that's one of the hardest things for us to sort of grasp at that point when we're so sleep deprived and, you know, so like putting someone else's life before our own. And we were just talking before this call about being 40 before we start recording. And I mean, I think there's all these milestones of when your body changes, right? And kids are just one of them, but our bodies change. They change over time and they need different things and they need different attention. And like our version of what we see as healthy at age 20 is a little bit different than after a child or at age 40.
Well, right. And, you know, for me, in my 20s, I just had the ability to bounce. Like, I think when I'm listening to what you're talking about, I hear resiliency sort of in the background of that message. And women's bodies over and over and over are made to bounce back. But as we age or have babies or do those kind of things, our because of our neurological, neurochemical processes, all the hormones that we have to deal with, the bounce back is different, longer, harder times, you know, all those different things. If we can reset our thinking process into what makes up a resilient lifestyle, and that's sort of like, if I were to like say there's a web or a string weaving all the cards in together, the thrive concept that you were just talking about that you practice is definitely a silent web in there.
Yeah.
And then also so is resiliency. Because when it comes to like, how do I get my body back? It is the patience and it's be kind to yourself and all that kind of stuff. But we aren't used to resiliency yet. It's a new concept that we're talking about, but it is something that those cards start teaching you. I just had someone on Snapchat yesterday. I love Snapchat right now. And I know a lot of moms haven't converted yet because we're still in the Instagram world where we love Instagram. But Snapchat for me is a great medium where like I literally can talk to moms from the United States all the way over to Norway, like in one day, you know, and I can tell, and it's such a fun medium for social media and connection. But like yesterday someone snapped me, her process, she had taken the cards, put them up on her kitchen counter, like on her, you know, doors, and taped them up in the top, on the top row. She put like what were the, like the themes that she was going for in her own life, and then like the actions, because if you notice, like Little Mother's Helper is very much an action oriented product.
Yep.
Because it's like, here's this awesome soft message that says you are loved and you're transforming right now, and I know you need more love, but then here are some actions that are going to help you do that for yourself. It's truly that self-care tool. So she's 15 months postpartum and she's going on her first run. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's taken her that long to like get her body back and or go into the process where she's going to bounce back to be confident enough to go put the clothes on and go for that first run. 15 months.
Well, so, I mean, I literally think I would have peed in my pants if I did it too much earlier.
Because we're, again, in the United States, it's one of our hiccups is we're not saying to moms in the first month postpartum, like physical therapy is a must after you have a baby. Mm. In France, they're prescribing it to women. So every woman that gives birth in France gets a month long of physical therapy for her pelvic floor.
Wow. I have no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah. I know. It's pretty cool. And so those women are less likely to pee their pants than a bunch of us. And that is why Icon undies come in handy.
Never heard of those either. I just didn't go running. But so that's interesting. Well, and I feel like a lot, and I don't know if this, how different, I mean, I'm sure maybe this is just different in different countries, because if that's the norm, then that's what people see. But if you're a magazine reader, and you follow Hollywood, you end up seeing all these people have babies.
Right.
And, you know, be on a set the next week and look awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that those people are being guided there by, you know, a professional person who, you know, knows the right exercises and is helping them get back in a way that, you know, hopefully make somewhat sense to their body. And, you know, maybe they are foregoing nursing their child, or, you know, I mean, you never know what's going into all that. We just see these pictures and these pretty children.
Which is really hard, because I think some of those people, and it's like, you know, I have a dear old friend who 3 weeks postpartum was tinier, like she was a size 4 again, you know, so size 2 again, maybe. And that's just her body. Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, we have to sit like that whole comparison, and there's a stress card in the emotion or in the heart part of the deck. So I categorized, instead of saying physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, mm-hmm. I said mind, body, heart, and soul. Let's simplify this, you know, and like, let's identify that we have different bodies that we need to take care of, because we are an integrated person. We're a whole person. We're not just one or the other.
Yep.
And so in that heart section, you know, it's like that thing we're, when you're in that period of isolation nowadays, we're so on Instagram, we're so on whatever, and you just go straight to whomever and see them get their body back so quickly. And you're like, how are they doing that? But they have chefs. They have, you know, they have trainers. They have everything that most women in the world don't, you know? And unfortunately, that's what we see a lot of.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And some of us are just built differently. Like,
totally.
So it just so happened that two of my friends who had babies did have, like, I feel like there's two different schools of people who nurse their children. And for some people, nursing keeps weight on.
Yes.
And for others, it just makes you skinnier than you've ever been.
Yes.
I feel like most people who end up skinnier than they've ever been will still tell you that they're having issues with their body, because your body's just different. So even if it's skinnier than you've ever been, like clothes aren't fitting the same and your boobs are still saggy and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it just happens. But for me, I kept the weight on and I had freaking gained 85 pounds in my first pregnancy.
Yes.
So it was really hard, you know, it was a lot of extra weight. And up until that point, kind of my metric around my body had always been like the scale and the clothes and the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found had to shift, and it didn't, it only shifted because I found food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden realized that food could make me feel good, and the weight started to go away.
That's amazing.
But the energy is what really shocked me, and like the healing from all these things that I had always taken medicine for. Actually, I don't know if we've ever had this discussion, but I always took either birth control or this awful medicine called Provera, which was like a hormone to get my period. I had never gotten one naturally.
Okay. Wow.
And after I changed the way I ate, I got it in 3 days.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that, like, I mean, the what you're doing for women, especially in early motherhood. So I think of a woman a lot, and I mean, different in a sense of different energy channels. So that's going to sound a little oovy groovy, but really, because I'm seeing the central nervous system, right? Yep. And when you're eating, like, you help women learn to eat and teach and do for their families as well. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is taking a generation of people that were all right, like we're all operating on this really high frequency that our nervous systems aren't, we're going to have to adapt to become used to. Mm-hmm. But when you eat clean, like you do, your nervous system stays at what is your natural rhythm. Does this make sense? It might be a little too high much, but like,
no, it does.
It's, and then, so it's like, so that makes it exactly like what you say. Like it took 7 or 8 days for you to actually get your period naturally after years of taking a drug, right?
Yeah.
Like your brain, like you're like, oh my God, my body feels clean. My body feels energized. I sleep better at night, you know, like yeah. all that kind of stuff. And so then your nervous system's like, oh yay. And your brain's like, yeah, I'm going to deliver that hormone. And then your, you know, adrenal glands are like, I'm going to deliver that hormone. And this is, we're going to work all, you know, we're going to work.
Yeah.
And so you start to see, and then also you start, like, for some reason, because things are working for the first time, you're like, oh, I am love. Like, again, it might be a little esoteric and cheesy, but it's like you start sending yourself positive messages, right?
Totally.
So all these things are needed neurologically for our physical bodies to respond and say, hey, let's have a party together.
Yeah. And when you feel good,
yeah.
it affects all these different parts on all yes. the cards, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So it doesn't, like, stuff starts not to matter. It's funny because, you know, as I'm going out in the world and teaching all this stuff, mm-hmm. If my gremlins get involved,
yeah, right.
I think about the current state of my body.
Yes.
And, you know, it's actually pretty great.
Yes.
But am I equal to Cameron Diaz? No.
Oh.
Like, I've had 3 kids and I eat really well and I walk and I do stuff and I you know, I do what I can, but there's still like life, and then I'm about to be 41 and, you know, mm-hmm. and I actually feel like I'm more, you know, fit and whatever than I actually have been in my whole life, but I'm not my smallest.
Yes.
And it's interesting just how that works and how all the pieces sort of fit together.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. So we do 2 different decks, right? So that's like clean. In the deck that you have in your hand, you see the clean eating card. And the reason I chose those specific words is because it's what I see women talking about. It's what women have been asking for. Like women, there's research out there that was done 10 years ago by a bunch of nurses and MSWs that really examined what women wanted from their postpartum care, like for their postpartum care from their providers. Mm-hmm. Nobody's done anything about that.
Right.
Like literally the research is sitting there. It's valid. It's a large number epidemiologically to look at, but nobody has taken any action to do anything about it until right about now, you know?
Yeah.
So we're like, and that's why we have 2 different decks. We have one for retail, and then we have one that we deliver out of hospitals.
Oh, interesting.
And so we partner with hospitals. What we thought would be a really effective way for this first year was to disseminate the information through hospitals. Of course, we've received a ton of kickback. Mm-hmm. Because it's sort of the, you're right, but we're not ready. So we're figuring out how to make the hospitals more ready
yeah.
for this. And we've been really lucky to have a hospital here in Minneapolis who has adopted it and been proudly giving it out to their moms, which is really fun for those women. But in the deck there, we have clean eating. And then the hospital deck, they had to change it to healthy eating.
Yeah.
You know, because you start thinking about, like, if you think about anyone in a Latino or a Hispanic population or, you know, a low-income Black and African-American population or, like, any of that kind of stuff, they might not know that terminology, right?
Yeah.
I think it's good to educate them about it, but how do we like learn to speak their language? But it's that card, at least it was still got into that deck because it's so imperative to me about that concept of like choosing really good foods, especially in early motherhood, because your hormones are all over the board, that it's really easy to reach for sugar, mm-hmm. donuts, like shit, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, but like really food that we love and like is scrumptious, like the cupcake.
Yeah.
But like that is going to make your blood, you know, like everything bonk, everything you're teaching women, but it's going to make women bonk a lot faster and then be emotionally compromised.
Okay. You know? And I have a thought, but I'm going to get back to it, but it's it's so, you're hungry, right? You're so hungry at that stage. So it's very easy to want to grab those things. But then I also think there's this, and then we're going to get back to hospitals, but I think there's this idea that we carry, and I definitely see it with myself and my kids, and like, I know better, right? I teach this, but of just wanting to reward with things like cupcakes. So as you're in this stage of like wanting love, so many times we're programmed from, you know, our childhood that like, oh, a cupcake is love. Like I should treat myself. I should treat myself to a latte and cupcake right now because I'm like out with my baby. And it's just this like weird, like psychological thing that we're just, it's hard to get out of, you know, it's not, I always tell people it's really simple to eat well, but it's not easy.
No, that's great.
You know, so it's like, it doesn't have to be complicated and it can actually be quite fulfilling once you're to the point where you're filling yourself with the stuff that you like, but there's so many things around it.
Yes.
That, you know, it doesn't always feel easy. No. But back to that hospital thing. So a few episodes ago, actually, we interviewed this woman named Lainey Love, and her sort of transition point of deciding to eat clean was when she got checked into a hospital, not having a baby, but just because something happened to her. And she was like hooked up to IVs and they were telling her all these things she had to do. And she was really sick. And breakfast came or a meal came. And it was just like white bread and Coke or ginger ale or something. Like it was just this like spread. And she just looked at it and her heart said, like, how can this help me?
Yeah.
And like, if this can't help me, then, and she literally like pulled the IVs out and walked out of the hospital and decided to find something different. And it started her on this whole year long path of really healing her body with, you know, food and exercise and a lot of work on her mind and soul and all that kind of stuff. But it was really that point in the hospital. And it's funny because when I had my third child, and it's funny, I had all three kids 100% naturally, but, and in hindsight, I could have done the last one sort of in a more natural setting, but there was something about the, hospital that was nurturing to me. Like, so I decided I was going to do it like I would do it at home, but I was going to be in a hospital. So I was in the hospital. And for my whole, my third pregnancy was so bad. My husband was like, you better be taking notes because we can't do this again. And I like, I broke my ankle. Like my child broke my rib. But in the middle of it, I had that awful thing where you get that rash. What's it called? Pups. And I had like these hives all over my body. And so I took like all the creams the doctors told me to and everything. And that was the first time that I actually, you know, started to use food. It didn't really hit me that it was going to be a lifetime thing at that point. But what's happened was after 6 weeks, I was so miserable. I was so tired. I hadn't slept. I had these other two. At that point, I had a four-year-old and a two-year-old.
Too much.
I was like freaking exhausted. And I had hives all over me and I was really big. And so we started doing all this research online, and thank God for, you know, all the hippie moms in Berkeley, California, because they had this listserv, and somebody had figured out that food had helped her rash. And so my husband found the post, and he's like, this woman just says, take out gluten, take out caffeine, take out sugar, and take out tomatoes. And I don't even know what was behind this, but I was like, whatever. And I took it out, you know, the next day because I was desperate, and it worked. But what everyone said is that when you had the baby, it would go away. So I remember being in the hospital and the breakfast coming, you know, after having a baby at 2 a.m. And so I was tired and I remember waffles coming and, you know, I wasn't educated enough to ask for something gluten-free or whatever. And so all this food came and I just ate it and I immediately got a hives again. Because, you know, that gluten for me doesn't work. And that was the first time I learned that.
And I think it's pretty curious that, that we, you know, there's so much emotional eating. Like I had this chef from Brooklyn reach out to me after the birth of her first baby and be like, why am I craving so much sugar? And I think it was actually during like our Kickstarter campaigns, you know, and, I was like, well, you should go look at this Kickstarter campaign and like talk to this woman, you know, but at the same time, and you just have to explain what the body's doing, what the brain's doing, that like likely the woman's craving, you know, likely that you're craving protein or not getting enough protein. We don't realize how much protein, we don't realize that what we do in pregnancy, because again, you're not educated this way necessarily, that what you do in that time period while you're pregnant is that what you need to be doing, exactly what you need to be doing, if not more, postpartum, because the actions of what you're doing, like feeding a baby or whatever, like healing from childbirth, like healing from pregnancy, it's a massive adjustment. It's even almost bigger than the growing the baby, even if it doesn't seem like it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's all part of the cycle, yet we think it's a 9-month cycle, and really it's not.
It's much longer. So, you know, we just talked about, like, you know, how can you add more protein to your diet, and why are you craving sugar at certain times of day? And, you know, to examine and to explore, like, what are your energy relation, like, levels at that time of day? Have you had a lot of caffeine but not any food? You know, so I think it's, like, learn probably everything that you teach women, it's just like needs to be conversed about more frequently.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Well, and in my book, smoothies are the answer to everything.
Well, they're such an easy tool, right?
Yeah,
And for me, and this is why I love summertime up here in like North America, is because finally it's like, I think Ayurvedically and also like China, like with Chinese medicine, mm-hmm. then like finally our bodies are like, yes, it's warm. It's 60, 70 degrees, you know, right now. So I can't, like, my body can digest this.
Yeah.
I live in a cold climate. So, you know, even 3 weeks ago drinking smoothies because I needed to just like be regulating myself was kind of hard. And because my body was the cold outside, I was still craving like oatmeal and stuff. And I really just wanted to like have the ease.
Yeah.
Simplicity of a smoothie, you know, but like if you put the right things in a smoothie in the morning, like including coconut oil, some sort of like, you know, plant-based protein powder, chia seeds, hemp seeds, whatever, like those basic things mm-hmm. like that for a mom who's super busy and fragile, I'll say, that's a really great grounder and like a basis for the day. I think it's a brilliant start to the day because it often fits in. And you can, you know, like, you, as you well know, preparing them like the night before, like that's when I'm really busy with the schedule, I'll like prepare and freeze. Like the classic person that like will spend time doing that anyways and pull one out the night before. But
and so often we can get stuck as moms, right? Like, and, you know, we've decided that we're going to go, you know, if you have multiple kids, you leave the house maybe with an older kid and you have your babe on your, you know, somewhere. but you forget about yourself. Like, we're always forgetting about ourselves. And then, you know, the baby needs to eat. So you pull over to feed the baby. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's 11:30 and you haven't nourished yourself. So just that practice of, you know, having something super nourishing in your bag. And it's funny you say the Ayurvedic thing, because I really embraced that for the first time this winter and sort of started to learn more about soups and stuff. But my body, for whatever reason, does, like, maybe I'm just addicted to smoothies, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's all good stuff. But this woman was telling me that, you know, there's so many spices.
Yes.
That are great and Ayurvedic, so putting those in can help sort of...
Fire up the belly.
Fire up the belly and take the raw food better. And then also I got into the habit, actually, because I have two oatmeal eaters and one who, for whatever reason, won't eat it, but she loves it in a smoothie.
Yeah.
So we put like the oatmeal in a smoothie and just blend it all up and it becomes a drink. And,
nice.
It was, you know, it sort of served the same purpose.
Yep. Totally. I do that too in the wintertime. I'm like, okay.
And sweet potatoes. You can make a smoothie with sweet potatoes that literally tastes like pumpkin pie, but, you know, is sweetened by dates and doesn't have that high dose of yucky sugar.
The other day I made a smoothie because I'm really lucky to be in a community where we have a juice CSA and I definitely, my dad passed away from cancer. So during when he was getting treated and stuff, we all got juicers. I mean, we all became the juicing family.
Yeah. So,
you know, but again, and so my juicer broke and then all of a sudden this juice CSA formed and I was like, I'm just going to take the easy route on this one. And it's just been really a sweet investment and they're a great company. But the other day they delivered one and it's like, you know, I think it's probably lemon and then maybe it's a lemon juice, but it's also turmeric, it's pepper, it's ginger, you know, so basically all of those Ayurvedic fire up things that really, I think that when, so they're also blood building.
Yeah.
And they're things that like a postpartum mom or a new mom, they're really going to energize her gut, you know, so providing more metabolism, more nourishment, more digestion for the rest of the day. And I put it in like a pretty, you know, green smoothie. I added it again, hemp and chia, and then E3 Live. I love E3 Live. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then whatever you can do, like how I always see your pictures of you with lots of vegetables and mango and stuff like that. But, you know, that the kick was a really nice piece to it, because you wouldn't think about adding pepper to your smoothie or some, or ginger, you know, ginger, like you're saying, the herbs. And that's where, like, that's where the food is medicine starts coming into play. And food is medicine should definitely be a card in Little Mother's Helper, but it's not yet.
But didn't you have one? I'm just looking for it.
Well, there's medicine dreams, which is a little bit different. And that was in, like, was exercise, because it's something I practice in my own life. But I had a couple clients a few years ago that I started talking to them about it. They're like, can you talk more about this stuff? Because that's the stuff I'm totally curious about, but nobody talks about. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of taboo, you know, because it's like not necessarily. But I don't think I have a food as medicine one.
Tell me, what you were talking about, though. What is it that people don't talk about?
Oh, well, the card in there, it's called Medicine Dreams.
Okay. All right.
It's in the soul part, I think.
All right. Well, you do have one that is called Immune Booster.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
And you do explain that you could put turmeric and ginger honey in a blender. And
there you go.
That's really good when you feel a cold coming on, because colds suck when you're a new mom and you're nursing, and it seems to go into your boob as much as it goes.
Yep.
Anywhere else. Right,
and you know,
lost in the cards.
That's okay. It's easy to get lost in the cards. you know, the one thing for, if there's like new moms listening, the feedback we've recently received too, which is really great, is like they're really like short bits of information that like a brand new mom got some, and she was literally like 2-3 days postpartum, you know? And she said, why I love them is because I can absorb the information and go take a nap. You know, and I don't feel like I have to dig through the book to look hard, all that kind of stuff, you know, and that really, again, when you're looking, you're like, you're hungry for information, especially after your first baby. After a second baby, it's different information you're hungry for. Mm-hmm. But you know, after that first baby, you're hungry for information. And we have like we wanted to deliver the way a new mom that is younger, like the millennial mom, is absorbing information. Yeah. But I'm loving that, like, what happened with these cards is like women like you in your 40s, you're still like, I still love them. I can still use these cards. And like my mom and her friends who are in their 70s, you know, they're like, I love these cards. I can still use them, you know? Yeah. And like people who have teenagers that get a new dog, they're like, send me the OMG we're parents card picture and text messages and be like, thank you for this card. still
I love that. You have the cards, and then there's an app. Is that true?
There's an app. Yeah. It's in both iTunes and the Google Play stores. And it's really just right now, we call it our MVP. So a minimum viable product, according to the business dictionaries. But we wanted to translate the cards that we did on Kickstarter and into a digital deck. But we are in the next phase of building that app out, which will be a much greater community centered place where moms can connect to other moms, and like, we have big pipe dreams for that. So we're working on those, unfulfilling those dreams, and hopefully launching that, if not in 2016, early 2017.
So now the app is the cards or no?
It is. Yeah. Okay. So it's like, it's, you can go into it. You get 10 free cards from two from each section. So there's the body, mind, heart, soul. And then we have the hashtag pro tips, the pro tips section.
Yep. Yep.
And then you can buy an app purchase for $5.99. You can buy the complete deck in the app.
Cool.
Yeah. So you can, like, there's the simple features are that you can like heart a card and it goes into your library. So if there's like certain things you want to know and have easy access to, you can build your own library. And then when you're done with that, you can unheart it, and then it goes away from that. And you know, so we love the digital side of it, but we also created like the cards that you have in your hands right now, because we think that like we love the mission of passing on information to help community members heal, you know? So figure that maybe a woman learns enough about her quote unquote boob issues that she's had, and she like learns how to master those. And then her friend has a new baby and starts having quote unquote boob issues, and she can be like, oh, I have this card here, you know? And if you want the full deck, go check this woman out, you know, or whatever, go check this website out.
And I also, I love the idea personally of cards, and I'm hoping the listeners like get this analogy, but You know, I feel like cards have become somewhat big in the past few years just based on
Yeah.
the idea of tarot cards. But the cool thing about a card is that you can just pull one and read it. And so often it's the thing you need to hear. And you might not have seen, like, I feel like you might open a book and look for a fact that you're looking for, but it might not really be what you need to hear that day. It's what you think you need to hear. So I
Yes.
love the idea of a deck because you just see, I feel like you see new things that. You know, a lot of us might not expect that we have the baby blues or whatnot when we're.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I based it off of too, because I thought, build a self-care kit. What does that look like? I was like, well, Simone LeBlanc is making beautiful kits for moms that you can buy on the website. Just like, let's let her do her magic. And I was like, what as a provider, and then like, what as a woman do I love like playing with, you know? And I'm like, same thing, cards, whether they're tarot cards or angel cards or whatever. I like the just going for it thing. That's like sort of the roulette you play with it. And then yet at the same time, if a woman, like when it comes to that mind section, we're getting really great feedback on that from the clinical world, which is really great because they're feeling like it's they're an underserved population of working, and so are women with postpartum depression, just completely underserved, over stigmatized, all that kind of stuff. And you know, that section just provides like a lot of love and a lot of clarity. And it's one of those places where if a woman's like, do I have postpartum depression? I do not feel like myself. She can go to it and be like, oh my gosh, that's me. What do I do to get help? And then there's all these, this is what you do to get help. Because it's again another thing where if that happens to you and you're 8 months postpartum, it's not reassuring. Because you're like, what do I do now? I don't have that doctor. I don't, like, who do I talk to? You know? It's so.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I tell the story of my transformation a lot. So people probably listening have heard it before, but I was really sad in that moment, and luckily I had this extra weight on me, and so that caused me to sort of look at a lot of the roots behind. Like I blamed it at first on my weight, and luckily it very quickly became not about my weight. But I just
Yes.
remember being at this stage where I had these three beautiful kids. I think not unlike other moms, I was hiding behind them. So I always am looking for pictures of me fat, and it's actually very hard to find them. Because I was always taking pictures of my cute kids, right? Like, why would I be in a
Yes.
picture right then? And my baby at the time was almost one, so I was almost like thinking I would come to the end of nursing her. So I had these three kids who were, maybe almost six, no, two, four, no, f almost five. So two, four, and one, because I had them all within 5 years, or five, three, and one, and I had this amazing business, a design business, and I was freaking miserable. Like, I had an amazing husband. I had everything I had ever wanted, but I was totally miserable. And you feel guilty about that, because, you're so lucky. But it has nothing to do with logic. It has everything to do with hormones. And you can't, like, you don't see that until you take a step back. Like, it has nothing to do with anything. And there's nothing to feel bad about. It's just your body doing this funky dance.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the things that you're talking about, diet is, I mean, I think diet is number, that's why it's probably like, I think card number three or whatever it is, you know? So, like there, it's funny. I didn't realize what I was doing when I did them, but there is clearly a sequence, of like kind of importance of what I heard. And that was first thing I always heard about was like, it was not about, I'm concerned about postpartum depression. It was more like, I'm concerned about my body. I'm concerned about how I'm going to take care of myself. Give me those tools just about my physical well-being, you know? And then came the mental, like, am I okay? You know? And then came the emotional stuff where it's like, I want to leave my husband, and I have an 8-month-old baby, and I'm going to leave him today. And I'm like, I don't think maybe can we talk about this? And then there's that. Then when you get through it all, then you get to that like soul section where you're like, oh, my purpose. Like I am here for a bigger purpose than not just like yes, motherhood is a huge purpose, but I still want my career. I still want like all those kind of things. And so like, how do I serve my bigger purpose in life? And so that like, there's those sequences where really it's like we can't say hey, everyone's woman's going to heal differently, but maybe just maybe there is a little bit of a process, and I can only say that from my extensive years listening again, and not researching women, but it is collecting data, you know,
yeah,
more
totally.
Or less over time, and just being like, oh, okay, like this is what I keep hearing over and over and over again. So let's just make a solution because nobody else is.
Well, and the funny thing that I'm seeing is I feel so blessed that I went through my whole thing then, right? So when my kids were young, but what I see now is, so my two oldest are 10 and 12.
Yeah.
And I actually think I've also mentioned this on the podcast because it's so stunning to me that so many moms suppress all these things that are on the cards, right? And literally survive for much longer than one would imagine mm-hmm. that one would be in this mode. And then at some point, what happens naturally with our kids is they don't need us as much anymore.
Right.
And so all these things surface again if you haven't sort of dove into some of this work.
Right.
But so, you know, when they're younger. So at some point, this comes up no matter what. Yep.
Yes. And that's why they serve so much of a broader population. And in our, you know, what's really exciting about what's to come for us is that we're going to build a pelvic floor deck. And I mean,
ooh.
I just think about, I know that's like, I mean, we had to cut it from Little Mother's Helper. And we've also expanded our business model to start looking at women's healthcare from preconception to post-menopause. So it's a very, and I mean, and the collaborations that come up, like everything that can go into that will be a big journey. But
yeah.
We were being challenged to look much bigger than just like, you know, yes, looking at the 2 to 3 year plan or forecast of what we were going to do with business, but also starting to look bigger and holistically because so many people were responding to one little deck of something that
yeah.
they were like, what about us? You know, what about
yeah.
us? What about us? What I love what you're doing. What about us? You know,
well,
so.
And not only that, but that changes like that. This is what Europe or in other places do so much better than us is that they see this as such
yes.
a process, right? And like their societies actually cater to this in a much bigger way, but it is one big journey.
Yes.
Of, you know, trying to conceive, having children, and then what, you know, then what happens after? Like it's all
yep.
part of the same.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep, totally. And like what happens to the woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer when she
yeah.
has a whole family, you know? And
yeah.
who's out there saying supportive and nourishing and things for her, you know, and also things that are going to help her, whether she makes it or not, you know? But like,
yeah.
you know, when watching and being very integrated into my father's end of life experience,
mm-hmm.
I was like, how cool would it be if he could have known that going to therapy with just some dude from town, you know, would have been really good for him at the beginning, not at the end of his life. You know,
right.
just so he could like enjoy that last year even more fully than he did. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So like if your oncologist were, you know, saying, wow, this must be such traumatic information to hear.
Yeah.
With this diagnosis, and here we're going to give you a little gift, you know, and it sounds so cheesy, but it's like really like we don't realize the power of education that,
no.
especially when it comes to healthcare, like that, like literally handing over this gift to people and saying, this is for you. This is not necessarily made by us, but we love it and we want to give it to you. And like for them, they're now starting to come back and say to those providers, thank you so much for this is exactly what I was like thinking about. This was
yeah.
totally on my mind, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think it relieves, and I don't know, we don't have a quote unquote enough data collected yet, but we're collecting it. But I think it relieves some of the trauma from really intense, big experiences. And I know people don't like to focus on saying that pregnancy is a traumatic experience because it's not, but birth often because it's so intense on so many people's bodies that it actually mm-hmm. is, you know, neurologically sort of seen like a traumatic event. Even if they're really sweet, loving home births, it's
yeah.
it's a big event. It's
yeah,
a big,
no, it's a
you know,
big event. I
it's
mean, and that's
event.
Why it takes so long to mm-hmm. sort of like have everything come together to a place where you can birth a child.
Right.
I
and
mean,
so I just, yeah, I think about love a lot when I think about what we're doing, you know?
Yeah. So. I love that. I love that. So we're getting to time.
Yep.
So
yep.
first I want you to share exactly how people can get in touch with you. And that will also be linked
yep.
in the description.
Yep.
And then I have a final question that we ask everybody.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is exciting. So it's real easy, littlemothershelper.com. So that's our website. Our favorite social platforms are Snapchat. So I might push some of you to get on Snapchat and meet with us. But and there our handle is The Mother Love. We're
okay.
on Instagram. The handle there is The Mother Love too. So @The Mother Love on Instagram. And then we're on Facebook, and then I'll give you that link because it's a they wouldn't let me get the Mother Love because some rock band had it, and or some show in LA has it. So it's actually like Rebecca S. Egbert is the Facebook handle, but we're on Facebook. But I'll say we're more active on Snapchat and on Instagram.
Okay, cool.
And then, yeah, so cards are there. And then the cards are also, again, in the iTunes store under Little Mother's Helper. And then they're also in the Google Play. So you can get it both on your Android and your iPhone or your iPad, whatever you want to get it on. And then the only kink with our app is that you can't gift the app easily. You have to buy a person like a gift card. And that's something we're working on. So I apologize for that hiccup.
Although the physical one is so beautiful. It makes such a nice gift.
It is, and we're about to do our second run of those, so it'll get a facelift.
It's gonna... are they still available? You can still get
them. Yes, okay. We're not the person that sells out and doesn't have. We're gonna always be ready to deliver.
Everyone knows with the launch of this episode, there will be a giveaway on Instagram at Plan Simple Meals because I have an extra deck.
Yeah, and I'm happy to provide an extra one too.
Yeah. So you'll be seeing some of those if you're listening to this when it comes out. You'll be able to go over to Instagram and maybe win one.
Yay!
All right. So the final question that we ask everyone is just about a meal that had a big impact on you, and it could be about the food, it could be about the company, it could be about some aha you had, and it could be something that happened last week or when you were a child, but everyone's loving sharing these stories, so we'd love to hear yours.
I love it. I'm like, first of all, before you ask the question, I had this big smile on my face, like, what's she going to ask? And I still have a big smile because food, so I'm Cajun, our family's Cajun, and I was just recently asked like something about being Cajun because I did Seth Godin's Alt-MBA class, and at the end of it, I said, in being a good Cajun daughter. And so much of that revolves around food. So I'm like really trying to pull out like one meal, you know?
Yeah.
And because I can't, since my whole life has revolved around exciting meals and lots of love around family and some dysfunction too, because there's always dysfunction in families, I think. The one I can, that's jumping out in front of my mind was it New Year's Eve? Or was it New Year's Day? It was either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I was back in Montana, which is like my heart home. It's where I lived for 12 years. And it definitely is like what I call and where I'll go back to. And then my best friends had just moved into a place called Clyde Park. So it's really out in the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful land. And they had moved in. And we went into Livingston and had dinner with a family of friends that I've grown up with. So I'm now like their kids' aunties who are, you know, college graduates. Mm-hmm. And eating meals with their family, they're always like, you know, wild caught salmon from Alaska because they fish.
Cool.
And then there's always the food from her master. She's taken because they were small scale farmers in Wisconsin, then they moved to Montana. And so they grow, you know, a good percentage of their food out in their yard, and their kids have grown up raising food, like all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the food's always fresh. The food's always delicious. But then there's just like this, imbibing joyful spirit that comes along with the meal. And so you feel like you might even have like just one glass of wine, but somehow it feels like you've had like 40, you know what I'm saying?
I love that.
It's always like great laughter and the story, like there's smart conversation. And there is politics will come, you know, like just the stuff that like starts make like that people don't stop engaging with each other. And then people butt heads with each other. And it was like with my best friends, and it was introducing what it was doing in this moment was bringing family and my best friends together. And then their sons, who my best friend's sons, who are, you know, 7 and 3, and then their youngest son, who's like a 17-year-old that's taking a gap year because he hates school and he's not thriving from it, and their stoner skier friends, you know, just like this trickle of amazing people came through, and just bringing all these people together and being in my favorite place. And so I really focus on that concept of primary food, mm-hmm. being the food that really regulates your body, really regulates your nervous system, really takes care of your soul. And it's one of those things where instead of maybe like saying, oh, I went and had this really decadent night, you're like, I have a decadent night, and it didn't affect, like, I don't feel swollen, or I don't feel like you're not hard on yourself afterwards, you know, because you had a decadent night. You just wake up feeling like completely like complete. Completely.
Yeah, and it sounds like you could be completely present during the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. And you just enjoy. And those are such rare events in our lives. And if people get to have them frequently, I'm like so jealous of you, because but those moments I can carry it to this moment right here and share that with you. And I can say that I do get to have those quite frequently, mm-hmm. but that one stands out right now for me as having the biggest impact in the last 6 months.
I love that. And I love that there was such a age range, and that of course the 7 and 9 year olds can be part of that. That's just, yeah. you know, that's what yeah. I'm always telling people. Like,
yeah, the three-year-old.
They love sitting too.
Totally. And like the three-year-old, you know, I have this great picture of like the three-year-old and the seven-year-old watching, like eating dessert and watching like, you know, a movie or something. And the three-year-old's on one of those, like, remember those bouncy like animals? You probably still have those.
But yes,
you
can, yes.
He's like sitting and bouncing on that. But his name was Gus, and the 17-year-old was Gus. Aww. So when those two Gus's met, it was like love at first sight, you know? And like all little 3-year-old Gus wanted to do was follow 17-year-old Gus around. And it's just like, it was too much fun. And it like one big family. It was really good.
I love that. I love that, how the meal, a meal can bring people together.
Yep. 100%. And provide healing. Healing for sure. Yep.
Love that. So. Well, thank you, Rebecca, so much.
Thanks for having me.
I hope that everyone got a lot from this, new mom or not. And I will see you guys on the next episode of Plan Simple Meals. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.